Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. Adrian, welcome to the Organize 365 podcast.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, I was wondering, how did you first find me in Organize 365?
You know, it's funny. I was driving a pretty long distance for work, and I had the Podbean podcast and it player. And what it does is it does recommendations. And so it's like, here's all these organized ones. And I had joined right when you were doing a three-step part series about decluttering, then organizing, then productivity. So it's really great to go through all those steps. And I was like, I really like this person. And so then I just joined. I've been addicted to the podcast ever since.
So that was a January series, because I remember doing that one. Did you say it was like 2017? Yeah, I think it was 2017. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So you've been around for quite a while.
Yeah, it's funny because it's like, well, we were here before there was the Sunday basket. And I remember when you initially were doing it, I was like, oh my gosh, I wish I could get down there. But with work, I just wasn't able to.
So. Yeah. And you're in the state of Ohio with me. So it wasn't like you were like on the West Coast or anything. Like,
no. Yeah.
Possibly a possibility, but you couldn't do it.
Yeah. No, work was just too crazy at the time. And I was like, oh my gosh, I definitely had that fear of missing out, because I'm sure it would have been really exciting to get in that initial ground level. But I'm happy to be here now and happy to be part of all of your programs so far.
So you were listening to Podbean, and Organize 365 was a recommended podcast. So you're already listening to organizing. So like, what is your personal organizing story and your paper organizing story?
Yeah. So my mom she's a legal secretary. And so she did a really great job of teaching us how to be very organized with our papers. So that wasn't so much of an issue. But when I went into the field of human resources, there's a lot of stuff that they just don't teach you in school about file management. And, you know, when you're dealing with employee files and legal records, you need to have so much of that experience. And so it's just something that I've always been interested in, and how to learn more about it. So while my paper journey was okay, my home was in a constant state of transitioning. So we were kind of organized, but could always definitely level it up there. Yeah. And so that's what drew me into your podcast.
So HR paperwork, I will tell you, HR scares me. I'm always worried because I don't know what I don't know. And like, as soon as you're not a solopreneur, like as soon as you have like employee number one, there are all these things you're supposed to know and do, and nobody tells you them. So I'm always worried that there's like we just got another email from someone about like, your company needs to like do XYZ because of LMNOP. And I was like, how would I even know? Where am I supposed to learn this information? So I feel like I try to be proactive and I try to know what to do next, but there's always more to learn.
Yeah. And it's always a changing field. And then of course, as you get certain levels, like 12 employees and 20 employees, things just start going even more haywire and all the things that you're responsible for.
Okay. Wait. Pause. 12 and 20. Like, I didn't know those were magic numbers. Are those numbers because of communication and systems or because of legal requirements, Adrian? I would like to know.
Mostly legal requirements, like your Family Medical Leave Act will start to take effect, and some other benefits that you need to ensure for your employees.
At 12 employees?
Yes.
I thought
there's different levels. I'll send you a sheet with the details.
maybe we could put it in the show notes.
That would be great.
I thought it was 50 employees.
You know what? Now you're making me nervous, because I was all nervous about this.
I was just talking to like an attorney this morning. They were like, no, that's 50. And now you're saying 12. And I'm like, we're really close to 12 full-time.
Yeah. You know, it could be based on like where you live and everything like that too. You know, different states have different requirements.
And that right there is the politically correct, legally proper. I then panic. And this is why I have four different lawyers. I mean, it's crazy. I have an intellectual property attorney. I have a tax attorney. I have a patent attorney. And I know I have another one. I'm like, who needs four lawyers? But it's so, HR is so complicated? Why is it so complicated, Adrian?
I don't know, because I think because you wear so many hats in HR. Now, as a disclaimer, I've only worked with really large companies. So okay. In case we were a little bit over, we were well over that 50, 100 employee threshold when I, you know, for all the businesses that I currently support. So
yeah. And just FYI, in case anyone wants a business idea, all the companies that are under 50 employees, that's where like, it's like charcoal gray. Like we have no idea what we're supposed to do next. And yeah. You usually don't have a dedicated HR department until you have like 25, 50 employees. Like it doesn't make sense to have a dedicated HR department. So everyone's going to be sending me all the recommendations. Feel free to send, like we know Sherm, like Organize 365 has an HR department. Don't worry. It's not a full-time job. It's a part-time job. But yeah, I mean, just like things like that, when you decide what your unique gifting is and what your work box is, if you are a passionate entrepreneur or you are really, really good at something and you hire an assistant or you hire a fellow professional organizer assistant to get you started, and then you hire an executive assistant and pretty soon you have a team of like three or four, guess what? You have to have HR documentation. Like when people get employed, there are like, I don't know, six forms they have to fill out. Like the I-9 and the W-2. And they're like, I know what all the forms are because I used to be the person in charge of HR in my company. Like it's a lot.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot. And then the requirements are always changing. And like you said with the I-9, you know, if you don't have that documentation, you get audited. That's that you can actually get arrested for not having that. So we're very passionate about paper organization in HR.
And so in case you don't know, because I didn't know, an I-9 is basically proves that you're not an illegal alien in the United States, right?
Yes. Okay.
So this is how an entrepreneur thinks. You'll think this is great, Adrian. This is not how you should think in HR. So we have now an HR outside company that handles all our payroll and everything. Everybody's like, whew, Lisa's not in charge of it. Yes, correct. But one of the things that was brought up to me was that I-9 forms sometimes have to get updated. Yeah. To which I said, are people who are legal American citizens all of a sudden going to become not legal American? Like whose idea was it that we're going to update that paperwork? Like it's not going to become outdated if you're already in, which is not the politically correct HR response, to which the person in charge of HR said, don't you worry about it, Lisa. We're going to handle it if it needs to happen. I'm like, yeah, but it just seems like a lot of unnecessary work and paperwork. You're not going to, if you have citizenship in the United States, you're not, I don't know. Somebody's going to be like, well, actually, Lisa, you can, whatever. Yeah. Born and raised in Ohio, people, I'm not going to lose my American citizenship is like my mental mindset, but I'm sure there's a reason you have to update that. Adrian, right?
Yeah, there is. And there could be different citizenship levels and stuff that could trigger it. But it's surprising to me that they don't teach you more about the physical filing while you're in college. You know, it's just like they just expect that that's something that you know. And even with some of the companies I worked for, you know, being Fortune 500s, we were very much an online platform. So you still had a lot of paper that you had to scan in or find a way to get it off your desk and into the portal, you know, and then how do you manage what data is where? So it's definitely a challenge. And that's where I was really grateful when you had the idea about the Friday workbox. And I remember just when you were just saying, oh, it's just an idea that I had. And I was like, that's a brilliant idea. And I promptly dumped out my Sunday box and was like, see you later, house paper.
You are now a new workbox that doesn't even have any program yet.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, as you mentioned, like you scan things and you put them online specifically for HR. Mm-hmm. We're not even going to get into it, but then there's the compliance, the HIPAA, the security of all those paperwork, which clearly is way beyond the Organized 365 pay grade. But you also mentioned, you know, being audited. Being audited has to be the most paper intensive, non-digital thing that could ever happen in your life.
Yeah. And especially because, you know, we want to be paperless, but you're still getting employee statements that are written. You have photos, you have, you know, government agencies that are sending you paperwork for unemployment claims or safety responses. And they still use very much a paper fax system. So while it's great as a repository, it is hard. And it does actually create, I think, some extra work sometimes when you're going from paper to digital, because that physical paper definitely doesn't go away.
So I told you we did move to a payroll company, like an online payroll company where the people who are hourly can clock in and out and you can request your vacation time. And I'm like, okay, this should save time. FYI, didn't save time for a long time. But the first Friday that we ran payroll this way, I was in the office around like 3 o'clock in the afternoon and I was the only one here. And a courier comes to the door with this thick envelope with all the stuff from the payroll company. And I was like, and they were handing it to me. And I was like, don't give this, like, what am I going to do with it? I was petrified because Adrian, I was afraid that we had not set it up to go into direct deposit. And I was holding everybody's physical paychecks. And I was going to have to start driving to people's houses and giving them their paychecks because we set it up wrong. And I was so afraid I wouldn't even open the envelope. So I just texted Sue. I was like, oh my gosh, they sent me this paperwork. Why do I need this paperwork? So we tried to stop it. And no, like the courier, the person comes to the, we finally got them to stop. But I'm like, why are you sending me physical documentation of every single person that we paid during this payroll? It's like a 50 page because it's not just the pay stub. It's like all the time. And everything. I'm like, who? What am I supposed to do with this paperwork? Then I'm freaked out because now I have in my hands physical paperwork that we had in this digitally secure online thing. And now I'm holding it in my office. I'm like, how do I get this shredded? How do I get this somebody else? I don't want this paper. I'm freaking out.
Yeah, it's a lot. And payroll is definitely the most stressful thing that you do. Because you don't, at the end of the day, if people don't get paid, they're very not happy.
Oh, not happy at all. No, we've never not paid our people, in case anybody's wondering. But yeah, you do not think of any of these things where you're like, I have this great idea. And other people buy into your vision. And you're creating something in the world. And then all of a sudden, this HR piece comes in behind you. And that's the thing that you, Adrian, are the expert on.
Yep. Yeah. So it is crazy. And HR serves, I mean, obviously, aside from paperwork, there's a lot of roles that you fulfill. But if you don't have that basics, and one time I remember an employee came in my office and it was just crazy pants day and there was stuff going on everywhere. And she's like, and I was like, you know what? I don't have that right now. Can I get back to you? She's like, oh, I know you'll have it because you're so organized. And I was like, it's so crazy. Like their trust in you as an HR professional is based on the fact that they understand that your desk is clean, you know, and it seems so simple. And you're like, that doesn't necessarily mean I know what I'm doing, but just that confidence that they could trust you. And I mean, you figure you give your HR person all of your sensitive information. I mean, they know your medical stuff. They know all your banking information, your family's information. And so it is definitely important to have that confidence. But it just kind of struck me funny is that out of all the stuff that I did that year to gain trust of employees, them thinking that my paperwork was filed was what got them the most trust in me.
Wow, that's so cool. I will say this, the second thing that in our personal HR department took us not the longest to organize, but yeah, we had to do, it took us 4 cycles to organize is the hiring process.
Yeah.
Like in the beginning, you find someone, you put out an ad and you hire that person. But once you get to like employee number 5, then you're like, okay, so I need to have a job description. Then we need to post the job description. Yeah. Then you need to take an application. Then you do reference checks. Then you need to interview. Then you need to interview again. Then we give them a project. That is just like finding a candidate. Then once you decide that there's a candidate that you want inside of your company, then all that paperwork I mentioned, you need to do that. But more important than that is the onboarding process. Mm-hmm. And it took us 3 different trimesters of 3 different people being hired to the first person's job. I think it was Shona. We were like, and while you're being onboarded, please create the process for being onboarded. And then when Emily Hare got hired 6 months later, we're like, and while you're being onboarded, edit the onboarding process. And I can't remember who was after Emily Hare. We're like, okay, we think this is pretty good. So let us know where the holes are. And we put it into like an online documentation system. So by the time you listen to this, we will have already done this, but we're hiring some more people this summer. And now 4th time through, once we get the contract and we have all the employee information and they show up on day 1, literally in this process that we have, they should be able to log on and go through days 21 where we could spend all of our one-on-one interaction time with them, getting to know them, their uniqueness and fitting them into the culture and not worrying like, did we show them where you go to the bathroom? Did we show them where you do payroll? Did we show them like where you log on for stats? Did we show them like all of our shared documents? Did we get them an email? Like all of that is not automated, but is in a checklist process. Like that's all HR, right?
That is, and it's kudos to you that it didn't take too long. I've done several HR revamping of hiring and onboarding processes, and they're very tedious. And then, you know, and then you have all that record retention again. You know, you have to keep the resumes that didn't work out. And
so it took us a year and a half, Adrian. Is that fast?
I think that is pretty fast. I mean, you know, without having a true dedicated full-time HR, that is awesome. So.
Oh, I'm going to go tell Vanessa. You said we did good. Yes. Say, Vanessa, we got a good grade.
In definitely. A plus.
So I would love for you to share, Adrian, about your workshops and retreats. I know that we internally, like in order to get that onboarding process done or to move from how we were doing payroll manually to moving to a payroll system, or even in the beginning when I hired Pat and I gave her all four of those forms she had to sign up to be an employee, I then made literal extra files for the next person I was going to hire. And I would pull out the file and like all the forms were in there and I'd make copies and I'd be like, these are yours, sign them. Like that's my initial thing. Like I don't know if you do this, but do people just come to you for your weekend retreats and start to get some of their HR systems done?
Yeah, so not so much on the HR systems for the paper retreats. You know, I still get more people who are either professionals and they're looking for career coaching advice, because who do you ask? You know, you can't really, you don't really have a true safe space at work, right, to ask. Yeah. And they kind of get some of that stuff. So that's where I get more in my workshop. But I do have my own HR consulting business. And so I get a lot of people through there that I work with. And it's nice because it's kind of like hiring an HR manager, but you know, you can just do it by hour. And so there's different projects we can kind of come alongside and partner with it. But more for the individual career coaching is that they became a people leader and they're not sure how to lead people, right? Because it's not easy. It is really hard. And how to organize some of that work and make sure that you're focusing on what's important in your job. So that's more what we do during the retreats and during the different workshops.
Okay, so people leader, so interesting that you mentioned that. In our team, we're growing leaders from within instead of hiring leaders from without. We've tried it both ways. This tends to be working well. I'm a teacher, so I literally started book clubs. So we have like a book club for anyone in the company, and we're doing 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And then we have a leadership book club for anybody that wants to be in leadership, and we're doing 21 Laws of Irrefutable Leadership by John Maxwell. John Maxwell? Yes, John Maxwell. And those are the books that I read 15 years ago when I developed my own leadership skills. So leadership is something that can be taught, and leading is something that people really have, they have a lot of strong opinions about or preconceptions about, but then once they really get into what leadership is, like it's influence, nothing more, nothing less. It's just how you live your life. It's bringing other people along with you on the ride. Then they're like, oh, well, I could do that. Like people don't want to be managers because they don't want to fire people. And they don't want to be held accountable for somebody else's actions that are not their own, that they're not in control of. I mean, if you really get to know people and are in relationship and have a genuine relationship and just start to grow people over time, that's leadership and true management, not the old like 1950s perspective of what leadership and management is. Is that kind of what you help with?
Actually, yeah, probably the opposite now that you put it that way. I guess more, of course, there's always that fear factor, but usually people get appointed for leadership because they do have those qualities and traits. Mm. But it's really hard to go from an individual contributor to somebody who does kind of manage, because at the end of the day, you're now responsible for the results of your organization. And again, it's just something that you don't get a lot of preparation is how do you handle a department budget? How do you set department goals? And then how do you hold people to those expectations? So, well, I'm glad that most people don't want to be true old-fashioned, just do as I say managers. It is hard sometimes to figure out where should I be pushing people? How should I be developing my teams? You know, just kind of those extra pieces of how do you guide people along? Or, you know, in some cases, they don't always work out. And how do you find a better alternative for them?
Yes, they don't always all work out. Like I finally went through and I did the statistics in Organize 365 all the way back to the beginning. And like 1/3 of my hires have just not worked out for various reasons. Like sometimes it wasn't a good fit. Sometimes they weren't a good fit. Sometimes it was blatant. Sometimes it was a season in their life, but it wasn't like forever. And I think that that's another thing that kind of scares people with HR is that you put all this time and effort and money into hiring and it's not a guarantee. Like There's no company out there that has 100% success rate. Like, I think I talk to a lot of other business owners, and you know, 2/3 retention is over the course of 9 years, pretty good.
Yeah, it's really good. I mean, just I think like minimal retention, you're looking at a 6-8% loss when you get into larger businesses, because you have people who retire, you have people who medically can no longer work. And then, you know, all the life factors of moving and having kids and, you know, all that other stuff. And then, of course, you know, there's just some people where you thought that they were a fit, they thought they were a fit, and then it doesn't work out for them, for either in your side or theirs. But
yeah, in a company like ours, like you're listening in 2017, in 2017, it was Pat and I and Amy, the graphic designer. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, it's 15 at the time of this recording in May. It'll probably be like 18 by the time you're listening to it. That's a lot of growth to add that many people in that short amount of time. Like, we didn't have physical products. We didn't have a physical space. We didn't have a 401k. We didn't, like, all of that has happened in only 3 years. And so there's a lot of change that happens very quickly, and not everybody is adept at handling change at that kind of a pace.
Yeah. And I think it's frustrating as entrepreneurs too, when you get to that stage, because it feels like you're spending so much time setting up those processes just so you're protected legally. And you also have the great best experience for your employees, or you have that engagement piece, but it just, you know, that you're going to get a huge return and be able to grow exponentially once they're onboarded. But that onboarding process, it takes a while.
It does. And it's important. And by the time you're ready to hire, like, you needed somebody yesterday, and now it's going to take you weeks to find the person and then weeks to onboard them. And you just want to take what you have on your plate and hand it over. And while that may solve the problem initially, it's not the best experience for the person joining your team. And you really want people who are going to be in this for a while with you, that really want to catch the vision and grow it with you. We actually hire pretty early here at Organize 365. Whenever I see that the team is at about at 80% capacity, we hire more people, which my CFO, who's no longer my CFO, didn't like that. He was like, everybody should be working overtime and can't possibly do any more before you hire. And I was like, okay, goodbye. I hire mostly women. We have some men here, but it's been mostly women. I just don't need that extra stress at work where I'm like pushed to overflowing. And then I'm trying to bring somebody on and I'm just like, oh my gosh, we can't, you know, in that frenzied pace. I get much more short and direct when we run out of time. And the more that I can keep the company capacity at about 80%, the more I'm like, yeah, let's have coffee. Let's talk through that. Let's, you know, work through what the true issue is while I just listen and the team does it, versus me going, here's a solution, just implement it. You know, like, and I just, that's the kind of leader I want to be. Like, I want the decisions to come from within. And if they need, you know, if I need to, I will say I would rather have it this way than that way, but I'd rather have a self-managed company where people want to show up and they have the capacity to do it. And luckily, we've been able to do that so far.
Yeah. And I think that that translates, obviously, to your customers and your clients who feel that more relaxing, more pace, and when they're interacting with anybody in the Organize 365 team. So although it is an investment in your headcount, it does definitely pay off in your culture and how you're able to lead and grow your business.
Yeah. Okay. So, Adrian, I want to thank you so much for being part of our mastermind that helped us create this Business Friday Workbox. As soon as we realized you had HR experience, we were like, yes. It's kind of like I'm in a mastermind and we have an employment attorney in our group. And the leader says, you always want an employment attorney in your networking group, because then it's like you're sharing ideas. They're like, actually, you might want to check that out before you say that publicly. Like, or no, you're in the right. Let's do this. So when we found out that you had an HR experience and we're creating a business workbox, we're like, oh good. There are going to be some HR pieces in here. And you're really good at assimilating the information that was already in the workbox. And kind of like one of the things that you did that was really easy to digest just for me was when we went from the 6 different business workboxes down to just the Business Friday workbox, you just pulled all of the 2.0s from all of the different workboxes into one document. And now that's what you get in the business workbox. You could see like, what are the 2.0 colors for entrepreneur and for corporate and for professional organizer on one document. I was like, why didn't I think of doing that? Like, it's just like simple things like that, that you were like, look at this document. And we're like, oh, why, what are some of the things that you love that we changed about the Business Friday workbox?
Oh my goodness. So I really like that there's just one workbox, because I feel like it really addresses, there's two groups of people that I felt kind of were kind of not seeing themselves in the other workboxes. And a lot of those are the project-based people, like our engineers, or people who are really good with paperwork, like your administrative, like your accountants. But, you know, when they get those projects and stuff, there wasn't a space for that. And so I think the way that we reframed it now, it really allows you to have it for your day-to-day and also for your special needs. So if you have a system that's working for your day-to-day, but that part that doesn't work is really great way to implement that workbox. Or just like the Sunday basket, I'm sure people will have multiple workboxes going down the line.
Yeah, I might have had six running at one point, which is why I created six, is because I literally had all of those workboxes myself. Like, I was a teacher, I was a homeschool, I was direct sales, I was entrepreneur. And so I separated out all those parts of me so that I could batch my tasks. But as soon as we started the mastermind, we realized that, okay, well, that's task dividing, but the way I think about business, the way I think about it is the same. I'm just dividing out different projects, like you said. And some people will have like a box just for a client they have that is a bulk of their income or a big project they're working on. Like, I used to create a box just for Embrace, and I would put everything for Embrace in that project box that was not my corporate work box. And now I have a portable Sunday basket that I use as my quarterly corporate work box that I carry back and forth because I work in the office. But my true corporate work box is at home in my home office, because I only go through that quarterly to see what new ideas we're going to bring out and put into Organize 365 next.
Yeah.
Do you have more than one?
The second part of it is, I think it really helps you to see more examples. I liked how it was separated before, because it made a lot of sense. Like, entrepreneurs have different issues than corporate employees, than, you know, like a freelancer would. But sometimes just seeing the different examples and how it lays out is a really strong point. And I find that in corporate America, one of the issues that we would see with executive level kind of people who are going up the ladder, you know, who are now people leaders and trying to get further along, is that they don't necessarily always have that entrepreneurial mindset. And so even though you might just be in one category, like you're just in finance or you're just in engineering, if you really can bring in those entrepreneurial skills of how do you come up with new ideas, how do you set the budget, how does that impact, and you can do that earlier in your career, it just kind of gets you to be more noticeable and to really see that vision, you know?
Interesting. That's really, really cool. Are there any other pieces of the workbox that you really like, or are you using multiple workboxes?
I don't. I had multiple for a while, and then it kind of got a little bit to be too much. So I have everything in one with like 100 slash pockets in it. But I really like to have it all kind of in one area, and it's just a lot easier for me to manage it that way. So I've tried it with multiple, and I've done it with one. And right now for my business, one is working.
Yeah. What did you like best about our mastermind collaboration?
Oh my gosh. It was so much fun. And it was so great to hear everybody's different experiences with both the clients that they support, as well as their past work experiences or current work experiences, because you realize how much more potential there is to the workbox. You know, I think you always know what you have experience in, but to be able to share that and in such a collaborative environment was really a great experience for me. And I think it also will translate it into the final product that we have.
Yeah. Is there anything else about the final product that we created that you're like, oh yeah, I'm glad we included this, or I'm glad we thought about that, or here are some things that we as certified organizers can provide in addition to that?
I don't know if I'm allowed to say it, but I do like some of the changes that we made to make it a little bit more.
This will come out after they know everything.
So okay, great. You want. Well, I really like the ability to kind of take it away from a little bit more of a feminine feel to more of a unisex. So with the additional slash pocket colors and also just some of the terminology, I think that it's going to really help businesses, because I believe if you have a small business or a team, that if you can get everybody using the workbox, it's just going to really elevate the team, because you're all speaking that same language then. And I think that that was a huge help, from an HR perspective, right? To have the more masculine colors, and to also have some of the options, and just make it more of a, hey, this is for everybody, right, kind of a box.
Yeah. I was going to ask you a little bit earlier about diversity and inclusion, and I think like this is a good time to bring that up. you know, as my mindset broadens literally every day, like I had a conversation this morning in a mastermind group about what was happening in other companies. I was like, oh, I didn't even think about that kind of diversity, or I didn't even think about that kind of inclusion. Like every day I'm just exposed to more and more and more. Like we're all different. We're all unique. And there are so many ethnicities, so many cultures, and so many different ways of seeing things. Mm-hmm. And the more that we can make everyone feel like they can come to the table, it's almost like you didn't know what you didn't know. And now that you see it, you can't unsee it. How to make it as inclusive as possible. Just like you said, like anybody can use a workbox. My lens for so long was I literally was just at home with babies in a direct sales company as a married woman. Like that was just like my lens. And I would say in the last, you know, year and a half, every day I'm like, oh, you know, include this, expand to this, be more open to that. And I'm doing the best I can at getting everything as diverse and inclusive as possible. And I'm always learning and growing in that. Anything you want to say about that?
Yeah, no, I definitely think so. And I think that your leadership during the mastermind definitely helped just make sure that people were very, very conscious of not only the different types of ethnicities, but the different ways that people would work within the workbox, you know, and having that different experience, I think really has helped with some of the terminology and the educational pieces of it so that you can kind of build this workbox for whoever you are and whatever it is that you're doing. And especially as our roles continue to change in today's society, you know, mm-hmm. it's very, you could change a position in a matter of months within the business, you know, that suddenly you're taking on a new hat or you're doing a new project. I really like the added flexibility. I think it was always there, but now it's just a lot more clear and a lot more inclusive.
Yeah. And there is a problem in having something be so expansive and so many possibilities. Sometimes when there are so many possibilities, it's really hard to implement. Mm-hmm. So there's enough there to get started and implement. And we give you some ideas of what your 1.0s and your 2.0s will be called. But as you work with it, how you define them will change. And like, so this morning, and this is going to be like 4 months before, you know, in May, you guys are listening to this in like late September, early October. Like I was approached by a business and they said, like, tell me about your workboxes. And I told them about them and they said, okay, and can this bridge our, like, we're going to be hybrid now. We're going to be partially in the office and we're going to be partially at home. Can this system help with that? And so we started talking and I said, yes, in this way, this way, and this way. And they were like, okay, we want this implemented in our whole company. I'm going to come over to your office with my COO. And I was like, all right, we're off to the races with this. because I would have never, like, I can't believe I would have never even thought about it. We've been in a pandemic for 15 months at the time of this, and I still haven't thought about how this totally bridges the gap with teams that are, it took that conversation with somebody and me saying, oh yeah, this is how, you know, this is how it works. And this is how it would work in that situation. So like you said, everything is going to be changing going forward, but this system will grow and adapt with all of those changes. Cause this is just how people think. This is how you get work done.
Yeah, exactly. To me, it's more of a vehicle. It's how you're going to get from where you are now to where you want to go. And maybe figuring out what all that looks like for you would be where you could work with an organizer to get mm-hmm. that map. But that vehicle is built very well. And it gives you that structure that's been missing, I think, a lot of corporations and small businesses.
Yeah, I'm super excited. Anything else that you wanted to share with us, Adrian?
Oh, no, I think that's about it. I think it's a great product and I'm really excited to see it to continue to grow within the Organize 365 family.
How can everyone get a hold of you? Like, what's the name of your business? Where do you physically live? What are the social media platforms that you're most active on?
Yeah, so my business is Paper in Progress and I'm based out of Fostoria, Ohio. So the best way is I have the website, paperinprogress.com. And from there, you can link to my workshops and my different program offerings. And then on social media, I'm mainly just on Facebook and Instagram. It seems like that's the best platforms for what I'm doing right now. So, and again, that's just Paper and Progress spelled out.
And are your HR courses and offerings, are those also on the same website or do you have those somewhere else?
Yep, you can link to them from there. And then we also have a business boutique, which helps people who are starting their business kind of organize with the workbox, mm-hmm. but also get all their stuff through the accountability, the different workshops, and also website design.
Yeah. So Adrian, you might be flooded with HR questions.
That would be great because I'm definitely an HR geek. So I love doing that. And I also love doing the career coaching for people who are just not sure and need that person to kind of brainstorm and talk through different situations.
Well, those are two very needed skills. I highly recommend Adrian as someone you reach out to if those are two things that are on your bucket list to do in quarter four here at the end of 2021. Adrian, thank you so much for being on the Organize 365 podcast.
All right. Thank you.
Are you ready to share your transformational story with me and the rest of the Organize 365 community? We would love to hear it. Please go to organize365.com/Wednesday and fill out an application. I cannot wait to see your application in my email inbox.